following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right. Well, hello, Refuge family. So glad you guys are joining us for our fireside chat today. Today we are going to have a short study, and then I will lead you guys in a time of communion. So with that being said, let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you that it is alive, it's living, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And right now, God, as we are going through this day, Lord, there's probably many things that have, we've gone through in this day. Maybe there's things that we've been thinking, things that we've been struggling with. And yet, God, we know that you are a God above it all. And so, Lord, as we have this time to, Lord, get into your word, would you please meet each person where they are at? Lord, you are the great I am, and may you be glorified through our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cool. So, I don't know about you, but I would say that I really enjoy a good underdog movie. To be able to see someone or a team of people go through just hardship, through adversity, pass through the discouragement, and then become champions at something. Especially when they are a true story. I think you just can't help it, but you get glossy-eyed about it no matter who you are. Whether it is the lint or what, there is definitely something that is so touching about when we see this. So I definitely would say that I love this message of perseverance through challenge and through trial. And, you know, I could even say that we can see this as a biblical virtue. And yet, I would at the same time say there are certain circumstances or certain times when looking realistically at the situation, it would actually be foolish to continue to try to do something. So I'm going to use myself as an example. Me being age 34, 5'5", on a good day, fully extended, with shoes on, who is not really good at dribbling, who is not really good at shooting the ball, or doesn't particularly have hops, I think we could all agree that it would not be wise for me to continue to pursue a career in the NBA at this point, right? Now, this is pretty obvious, I think, in this example, but I want to ask the question to you personally. Do you know how to discern when it is time to give up on something or to try harder and persevere in the situation that you're in? And secondly, with our time, I want us to look at what that means for the believer in light of all that is going on around us. So to begin to answer those questions, I want to actually tell you two stories of two different kings who both found themselves in adverse circumstances, who both took two very different approaches, and at the same time had two very different outcomes. The first of the two we find in 2 Kings chapters 18 through 20, and his name was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king of Judah. And during the time frame that he ruled, he actually got rid of a lot of the idolatry that was beginning to come into Israel at that point. He destroyed a lot of the places of pagan worship. The word tells us that he did what was right and pleasing in the Lord's sight. We also know him maybe because of his story about his healing, which is kind of a famous story in Scripture where he is at the end of his life, he is deathly sick, and God heals him and restores to him life for 15 more years. But what I want to talk to you guys about is specifically a time when he faces King Sennacherib of Assyria. And Assyria at that point seems to be a world power of sorts, and they were coming with the threat to come and to siege and destroy the king and the people of Judah. And so when you read through 2 Kings chapter 18, we see that King Sennacherib, he sends some of his highest officials before him to let the people know and to let the king know all of what he was intending to do to them. And he says, as they're making this speech, they point out that, you know, the gods of any other nation, the weapons that they had, the technologies that they had, the allies that they had, none of those made any difference for the other nations because of the sheer power of the Assyrian king and army. Now, I think we're all familiar with the phrase, that person is all bark and no bite. And usually what we mean by that is they're just trying to make themselves look scary or seem greater or bigger than they really are. That is not what was going on here. They truly were so much greater in stature than Judah. And the Assyrians actually had taken captive the southern kingdom of Israel by that point. So here's King Hezekiah. He's faced with this adversity, and he's faced with this army that is too great for him. And as the officials had pointed out, as they were kind of making these claims to King Hezekiah and his people, they said, look, every other nation that's gone up against them to this point has all been destroyed. No matter what they had, no matter what gods they were following, no matter, they all came up wanting. And so what happens? Well, in desperation, in 2 Kings chapter 19, we see Hezekiah, he just tears his clothing in mourning. He goes to God, he laments, and he goes to the Lord in prayer, and he says, God, basically paraphrasing here, God, you know of all that is going on. You know the extent of every part of it. And he's recognizing at this point, there is nothing about himself or any other resource that he had available that could do what was too great for them. And so in humility, he comes and he just brings himself before the Lord, asking for help. And in chapter 19, later on, we see that God provides the help. As God fights on their behalf and God rescues his people. Now, the second king I want to talk to you about is not in 2 Kings, nor is he actually a king of Israel, but we actually find him in the early chapters of the book of Exodus. In fact, he's the king of Egypt. Most of you guys have heard of the pharaohs, right? But historically, at the time of Moses, again, Egypt was a world power. And the people of Egypt actually considered their pharaohs to be mediators between their gods and men. And they seen them kind of in essence to be divine themselves. Eventually, they would see them types as a type of almost God king. And yet, as most of you guys know the story that happens in Exodus, that after being slaves in captivity for 400 years, God uses Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh. And I wanted to bring up Pharaoh because when you read the stories about him and you see God begin to bring these plagues upon him and the people of the land, he sees God's power. He sees what God is doing in front of him. He even asked Moses to say, ask your God to stop, please. And God stops it because of Moses' prayer. Yet when he's faced with these circumstances that are too great for him, he doesn't turn to God. In fact, he defies God. It tells us in Exodus 14 as God parts the Red Sea through Moses, right? Pharaoh, and his army go on to chase them in defiance and in pride, and they continue to go after them, which ultimately leads to him and his army's destruction. Now, I think both of these stories illustrate beautifully what James says in James chapter 4. He says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But still, you might wonder, okay, well, what does that mean for us? And how do these stories answer the question of knowing when it's time for me to persevere or to give up on something? So I want to give you three things that we can learn from these stories about knowing when it is time to give up. So number one, when it comes to sin that God is exposing, it is time to give it up. As God had asked Pharaoh over and over, he said, let my people go. Pharaoh refuses. As he sees the power of God, as he sees the love of God for his people, he still refuses to let go of his pride. He refuses to let go of his idolatry. He refuses to stop treating the people of God unjustly. And if God exposes sin in us, he's actually calling us to give it up. And, you know, I know that we're all sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Man, I am so thankful that God has not shown me just the depths of all my sin at one point. I would be like, man, I wouldn't be able to handle it. But God's goal for us as his kids is that we would become more like Jesus. And one of the ways that he does that is God the Spirit will come and he'll convict and he'll highlight areas in our lives that are in need of repentance. In John 16, the Bible tells us that when the Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness. Now, we can know that it is God convicting us who's highlighting sin if we know that there's a need to repent there. You can know that God is not condemning you as a believer. God doesn't condemn the believer. In fact, in Romans 8, it says that there is now no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But he absolutely wants you to receive the grace, the forgiveness, and the closeness that you were meant for that comes through repentance. So if you see sin being highlighted inside of you, it is time to give up on sin and run to Jesus. Secondly, another time frame when we know it is time to give up is when we see all of our resources being exhausted. It could very well be that God is calling you to give up what you are currently doing in the way that you are doing it. In the case of Hezekiah, all the human resources had been exhausted. Human ingenuity, technology, power, money, allies, intelligence. None of those things helped the people who had faced Assyria before that point. But in recognition of his inability, Hezekiah, he doesn't bark up the same trees that the other people does. Rather, desperately, brokenly, he humbles himself before the Lord because he knows there's not going to be help found anywhere else. And maybe you found yourself there, maybe with a spouse or a loved one or a family member, maybe with a friend, maybe with a tragedy, maybe with a situation, maybe with a financial burden. It could be that in this time frame, God is calling you to no longer look horizontally, but to start to begin to look vertically. And so God loves to show himself strong on our behalf. You know why? Because he gets the glory from that. And honestly, family, I think that this might be where we are right now in our country. Many of us are familiar with the verse from 2 Chronicles 7, which says, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land." Amazing verse. The sad part is I often hear this verse used to point out the fact that other people are not doing this, without realizing that this verse is calling the reader, you and I, to answer, who know that this is the answer, to humble ourselves before the Lord and to cry out before him, to firstly be about it ourselves. And honestly, for the healing of all that is broken in our land and inside of us, with our own ingenuity, with our own abilities, with our own allies, money, whoever we get, whatever we get, they aren't enough, nor will they ever be enough to fix all that is broken. We need to cry out in desperation to the Lord for ourselves and for one another. We need to cry out to the one that heals broken things and who came with that mission. Thirdly and lastly, giving up when we're supposed to give up is not giving up at all. And what I mean by that is it is not giving up in the sense of, man, I can't move any longer. I'm not going to move forward, right? It is saying that I'm no longer putting my trust in my own abilities. I'm no longer putting my trust in any other human being's abilities. Rather, I'm transferring my hope from there to God. And we're placing it there. Friends, in a moment, we're going to get a chance to observe communion together. And when we do that, we go back to the message of the gospel. And the good news of the gospel is exactly that. We were never able to do enough. We were never able to obey enough to be able to make ourselves right enough before God. And yet Christ in his grace and his power came and lived the life that we could never, died the death that we should have, so we can be forgiven and restored and reconciled back to the Father. And so I'm going to lead us in a moment of communion. So if you have the elements, go ahead and grab that. But first, I would just like to pray just desperately together with you, my family, just for the Lord's help in this time frame. So, Father, we thank you for the fact that you helped us when we were desperate in our need for salvation. And God, you graciously, Lord, took care of us, Lord, in the midst of, Lord, our sin and our brokenness. God, thank you for that. God, in this time frame where there is so much sin and brokenness that is rampant all over our world, all over our country, in us, God, we need your help. Lord, we need your help. And God, thank you that we can trust that you love us. Lord, you've shown us, Lord, on the cross. And so, God, thank you for that. Lord, as we get a chance to, Lord, receive, Lord, the bread that represents, Lord, your body broken for us, Lord, may we remember, Lord, just the good news of what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. So guys, if you have your bread, go ahead and break off a piece. And we're going to eat the bread in remembrance of him. Now grab the cup. You know, the Bible tells us that without the blood, there is no remission of sins, right? That because of the Christ's blood, we've been now washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And that as far as the east is far from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. He no longer sees us as the broken people that we were, and he's shaping us to be the people that we know, to be the people that he's created us to be. And we're thankful for that. But we recognize that we are what we are only by the grace of God, and the blood of Jesus is what we cling to for our forgiveness. So as we receive this, let's pray over it, and let's receive from the cup. So Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. Your word tells us that is by your stripes, Lord, we are healed. Lord, by your wounds, Lord, you have paid our ransom. And so God, as we receive this cup, Lord, may we live in a way that is different. May we remember how we could depend upon you because of, Lord, what you've done for us. And so Lord, we receive this, Lord, just trusting you with our lives ahead and Lord, with all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Guys, this concludes our time together. But know that we love you. Man, we're coming alongside you in prayer. And again, we ask that you would be praying for this time frame and seeking the Lord with us, the one who came to fix broken things. All right. God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.